at that, that's all I've got. And I thank you very kindly for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Semyonov.
My name is Alan Panimarov. I am the president of the Karluk IRA Council. I do have a couple people that are here with me. Zoya Shugak, one of the elders, and my son, James. James is sitting up there. I'm former president of the Karluk IRA, Karluk Corporation. Since 1980, been merged with the regional corporation Koniag. I'm also a former member of the board of directors of the regional corporation Koniag. Most of what I do have to say is mostly related to social activities in regards to the village IRA council, tribal council. Subsistence. But before I do go into that, one of the things that you have mentioned earlier sort of put something in my mind in regards to the people who have been completely ignored, and that's our children that have been born after 1971, and it's made me think about the baby I just had about a week and a half ago, or my wife had about a week and a half ago. What could be done to be able to right the discrepancy that was done to those people who were born after 1971. In other words, they've been discriminated against. That's basically what I feel. Something has to be done to at least make these people recognize in one way or another. Myself and my boy James here, Zoya, were all called natives on paper, and then we got these other people who are actually, you don't even know whether they're native, non-native. One thing for certain, they are U.S. citizens. However, when you go get to a system where you're talking about the census, and then you start writing in all the names of the people that you have down in your household, and you get to everybody is okay, and then you get to these people that has, you say that they are U.S. Citizens, yes. Are they Alaska Native? And you start to think about it, well, gee whiz, if I say yes, then I might be lying because these people aren't placed anyplace. So, that's just a little example, but I don't know, maybe later on it might be a little bit more serious than that as far as these people are concerned. I just wanted to mention that. The Land Claims Act itself, one of the things that that I understood that the federal government had a responsibility, I'm talking about the Interior Department, to all the Native peoples in Alaska, and that responsibility is to advise the Native peoples, and especially the councils and the corporations, the IRAs, the IRA tribal councils, and all the tribal councils around the whole state, advise them on whether the Land Claims Act would be right for them, whether it'd be bad for them. I do remember some instances where not only Karluk Village but a few other villages have requested to the federal government and the Interior Department to please come down and advise our people on how to vote, especially Karluk, since it has been an IRA and it still is. And they did have a responsibility to advise them as to whether they should become a reservation or should go along with the Land Claims Act. Not only did they not advise the people in the villages and then the IRA councils, but they did not advise the leaders. And many of the leaders like myself, Sven and Walter, when we were around at the time of the Claims Act, all we could see was the value of what value of that dollar, $962.4 million, We knew that the value of land was there, but when you take it and write it down in paper, it sure looks like a different horrible story. Myself as a leader and those people in the village never had been advised as to what they should have done, and I believe that the federal government still have that same kind of responsibility right now as to whether we should, as to what should happen. At least let us know what's happening anyway. One of the things that I find that's a little bit upsetting to me, and that is the educational process of this whole thing, the Land Claims Act, the IRAs, whatever has anything to do with the Native peoples. The educational process for everything that's happening, even up to now, is so small that understand a lot of what's really happening. Since even though I myself and some of our other leaders have been around for, well, me since 1970, and I've been working fairly hard in regards to trying to understand what's happening as far as all the as the Land Claims Act, as far as IRAs are concerned, as far as the federal and state government's concerned. It's really hard to understand, and even now I probably, with what I know, it's to me, it's more dangerous than if I didn't know anything at all. the Land Claims Act, when it was passed under federal law, and it created corporations that were under state jurisdiction. And then when you're talking about certain rules and regulations under federal and state laws, and you're talking about two different stories. In some cases, you're talking about completely different rules and regulations. And that may have been one of the things that hurt our corporations in that same problem should have been rectified before it even came to the state of Alaska, before our corporations even started thinking about organizing. So that they wouldn't have to worry about one law or go along with one set of rules and find out the other set of rules are going to be the ones that will knock you down or allow for a lawsuit that would probably in most of the cases of all the corporations, in most of the cases will probably put you down under. Now, what the other people were basically saying about the land, the monies, the most important thing is the land. And under that, we're talking about how can we be able to protect our land so that our people can go out and do what they have been doing for as long as I can remember, and as long as my fathers and his fathers, their fathers, and so on have been doing, so that they wouldn't have to worry about stepping on a piece of land that somebody comes around with a shotgun or something saying that, hey, you're on my land, get out of here, otherwise I'll shoot you. I mean, that's a little bit out, but you know, it may come to that if we lose our lands. Before, the way I understood it, the people used to just say, well, we're talking about the whole island right now. My father and some of the elders used to tell us that we traveled all over the island. That was our whole base, our economic base, that whole island. The fish, the waters, the land, in whichever way that you can use it. And there was no boundaries. And they never heard anything about corporations. But all during the time, they were seeing little things happening to their land around the turn of the century, or just before the turn of the century. They mentioned about small pieces of patented land went to corporations like fishing corporations that set aside, that had land set aside for them, that were given to them, land that probably was used by native peoples before that was happening. And little things like these were happening all along. But they still have it in mind that we still could go out and fish and hunt and be able to make a living out of that. One other thing the Land Claims Act has done to some of the people in the villages, and I'm talking about the IRA governments and other kind of governments, it basically created another government within our own governmental systems. In other words, I'll just give you an example of what's happened to me in the past. I'll use the regional corporation for an example. As the president of the IRA and the IRA government, according to our bylaws and constitution, nobody tells us what to do but ourselves. We're the ones that decide to do that. But what happened was the regional corporation came in with a request from the corporation, and one of our IRA council members has indicated to me as well, we got to listen to them. We have to listen to them. You can't ignore these people. And I says, why? Why should we? Because we are a government, and we could decide whatever we want to. Nobody should tell us what to do. These are the things that are in the minds of some of the people. And in the minds, in other words, you're created, another government was created. And it was put in their minds that these corporations were to deal with some of the social services, like organizations like CANA, and some of the state social services organizations can be able to do for us, for the people in the villages. As a matter of fact, we're all over. And it really put in a confusion, something that confused the people so much that they, in most cases, they didn't know whether they were coming or going. I do have a lot more to say, but my mind is so confused that even as I'm talking about some of these things, a lot of times everything is so related you can't it's right here and I want to say it, but I just can't say it. But one of the things that I did mention earlier, and that is trying to be able to save that land so that we can be able to somehow live off the land, somehow protected, whether it's through the regional corporation, the IRA corporation, maybe the local native council, or whichever way that these lands will not be separated from the people. That's it.
Okay, thanks very much.
My name is Andy Kahutak. I'm from Akiak. I'm president of our village corporation, which we're just recently trying to get started again. I was one of those people that went to college. It took me about 15 years to graduate because I kind of messed around. You know, I traveled this and partied here and did this and that. And it took me some years to realize what was going on around me, so what I have is mainly, I guess, for the kids, for our youth that are going to school. The position that I'm in right now, I kind of involuntarily got into. I know that for some reason, some people at home, and for other people associated with our home, Akiak, have kind of always chosen me to take a chairman position of some kind or another. And so I conducted meetings, and I kind of learned along the way. I guess it was because of Walt Semyonov here, who just spoke a while ago, that I kind of got involved in a lot of things. And I think it was fortunate for me to have someone kind of grab me without me really knowing it and saying, you know, maybe you can do this, maybe you can do that. And I, you know, just not realizing it, I just said, okay. You know, it's just saying, okay, I'll do this and I'll do that. And it was really guidance by the elderly people that have made me realize what is going on around myself here. And even up to this point today, even though that I am president of our corporation, there's a lot of things that we really don't know about, and it all boils down to ANCSA. I'm always asking questions to Frank Peterson. I talk with Alan Panamarov, Sven Hawkinson, Walter Semyonov, and I'm still finding out, meeting some people, and I still have a lot of questions. Some of these questions are easements. How are we going to protect our lands in the future? Land banks. Now I'm hearing about sovereignty, not only around this region, but all 12 regions. I hear Sheldon Kachetak talk, Willie Hensley, all these people. All the nonprofit corporations like CANA, we have the boroughs to deal with. They're all interrelated, but everything boils down to is the ANCSA law. And so it's for the youth, you know, I'd like to try to kind of point out, don't lose your sense of responsibility once you realize something is important. Because I can remember when I, about 15 years ago, I dropped out of college and I kind of knew what was going on, but I lost it after that. I wanted to do my own thing. I really appeal to the youth to learn what they have to teach in school. Because if you don't, you know, it's just going to ride by you. Heck, I thought I was, you know, young at one point, but all of a sudden here I'm 36 years old, and I think to myself, what the heck happened? What's going on around me? How come I didn't realize this earlier? Not that I could have made a big impact even if I did, but I think each time a person realizes what is important around him, will make an impact, and it all builds up later on. If you do it together, it doesn't have to be all the same time, but once you start working together, I think other people in the other regions will realize what is going on. Then you can make an impact. And I think in the future, I hope our youth will be able to learn from the mistakes that we have made from ANCSA law, even though that there were some good things about it. Right now I agree, I forget who said this a while ago, but I think it was Jack Wick, I think he said that, I think it is beyond our help, anyone's help now, that we can do anything about it. So I appeal to the youth to learn and try to get that sense of responsibility, because if you understand what you learn and then try to learn how to use what you understand, and I don't think we'll see too many mistakes. I'm not putting down our elders or who worked on this ANCSA law. It's just that we're all in it together. But I think education is the answer, and the youth is going to be our help. And I think we should all work to try to prepare them for that. And I'm glad to see something like this, Mr. Berger, to where we can put out our views, and hopefully what you write up who will help us. As we're coming over from Makiak today, we came on the Navajo, ATS Navajo, and we had our doctor there from Canada. She visits us once, I think, every 2 months. But on the way over, we were flying, I think, about 500 feet, you know, from the ground, and mountains on both sides of us. And I kind of looked for a trail. I don't know, just not really thinking. I didn't have my glasses on. My glasses are all wrecked, and I just fixed them with crazy glue. But I kind of was looking, and I said, I wonder if I could see a trail. I don't know, it just came to my mind. But what made me do that was that our elders at home still tell us stories, and I like to hear them even though I heard them before, was that they used to walk between Karluk and Akiak, maybe up to Auga Bay Cannery when it used to operate, and maybe even to here to Karluk or from here to Akiak. Used to walk back and forth. Along the way they'd hunt, they'd eat. But when they get there, they take care of their business, if they have any at all. I guess mainly it was just to visit their friends. Then they'd have a dance and a potluck maybe, and that's how it went. After I thought of that, it made me think of the easements. And then I turned around and I happened to talk with our doctor there, and we were talking business. I was asking her when she would be back on and what she can do with our floor plans on the new clinic that we're possibly getting. And we were talking like that on the plane for about 5 minutes, and I kind of turned around, looked out the window again, and I thought, geez, this is all really complicated once you come down to think about it. What are we going to Larson's Bay for? We're going to comment on land, and we're flying over it. We flew over water. A lot of regulations. So again, I'll just say that I'd like to appeal to our youth. Please try to understand what this all means. And I hope that this here will help us maybe go where we want to, not where somebody else wants us to. Thank you.
Thank you, Tikudik.
Well, I really don't have much to comment on. I haven't been involved in Native Affairs too much. I'm Helen Wise from Port Lyons. And at the time of the Settlement Claims Act, I was living in Oregon. And I lived down there for 6 years. But talking long distance to the folks at home, it sounded like a good idea at the time. Now I think it was the wrong thing to do. And it's pretty hard to take when you have a son that's 2 weeks too late. And he asks you, how come I'm not a Native? That's, you know, that's hard. Especially when he's darker than the other one. At the time, and up until just recently, I didn't understand and didn't know that the Native population didn't get to vote on this act. And it was my belief that the government was of the people, for the people, and by the people. and that I think that our Native population should have had a vote. Also, on the land that's currently in the Profit Corporation, I really don't have a solution for it, but I am all for trying to see it put into like a tribal corporation, tribal council or anything like that, because I see a lot of corporations failing. And as of 1991, we're just going to lose it, and we need it not just for ourselves, but mainly for our children. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I was just taking a little breather here. I was the last to eat, so I thought I'd let everybody else get in and get their say first. I'm Sheila Aga Terrio from Larson Bay. And I've just recently come back to live here in the village. I've come back every so often. I've never lost my ties with my home. This will always be my home. This business of ANCSA, when it first came up, Helen Wise spoke, she was living in Oregon, I was living in California at the time. It was something that I was not involved in. And I think my feeling was not unusual. I don't think Alaska Natives felt they were involved in. It was something that just keeping with custom and tradition was being done to Native people without their opinion, consent, without any say on their part. It was just something being done to us again. And after a long history of having things being done to us and feeling manipulated from outsiders who come here, have lived among us, taking from us the wealth that they could from our lands, from our resources, and then eventually going back again to where they came from and leaving us in peace again, I think our attitude was, well, this is another thing, and it will come and it will go, and we will be left in peace again. Well, it's come. And it looks like it's going, but I don't think it's going to leave us in peace again. Jack Wick mentioned that a study done at the beginning showed that, or concluded that, ANCSA was designed to self-destruct. And if you take a close look at it, you can come to no other conclusion. With all the children born after 1971, ineligible for any Native rights, rights to live by subsistence, to live by Native values in the Native way. This actually means that when the last person that was alive before 1971 dies, Alaska Natives will no longer exist. Well, you can't convince me of that because this village is still going to be here. I don't know what condition it will be in. But we're still going to be here, and our children are still going to be here, and our children's children. And I believe they will be living according to the values that they have been taught by no other. Now, I have lived in the white world. I've lived down below for quite a few years, and I live fine in that culture. I understand it. I can relate to them. But it comes down to this: they cannot relate to me. And I've concluded that after many years of living there. I understand them and their values, but I have native values, and they can't relate to my values. Now, with the question of land, ANCSA has taken and divided up land. It has pitted people, native people, against native people. Communities that used to be close, they have, I think all of our communities have very close family ties. I know the people who have come here from all of the villages have found relatives and friends that they grew up with, that their mothers knew. They were schoolmates. We are all closely tied. And this ANCSA has pitted these people one against the other. And it has taken a native cultural value, such as land, and foreignized it. I talk to native people, and you ask traditional native people about the question of owning land. And I've been told, the land isn't here for us to own. The land is here to serve us, to be used by us. But nobody owns the land. You can't own it. The land passes on. This business of owning a piece of land and moving it around as a monetary object is something that is not part of the native culture. I think this perhaps is where the problem came in and are not paying attention and being caught at the wheel, so to speak. We weren't thinking that this was going to stay and have a permanent effect on us. We thought it was going to come and pass and they would leave us alone in peace with our way of life again. Like summer workers, they come in here, they do their summer job and they go, and the winter time we have our villages to ourselves. This hasn't been the case. I look out here in the bays. We go out there and we fish. We go out among the bays and we hunt. We get our food there. Our economic stability in villages is very bad. The unemployment is extremely high. There's no place else in the United States and maybe in the world where you're going to find such unemployment statistics as you will in villages. We depend on the food that we get for ourselves. You can't go out into our bays and walk on a beach without worrying about a bullet go zinging past your head. We have so many hunters here from the mainland, from down below. And how come they're coming here to our land? Have we invited them? We depend upon that land. You go out there now, the deer is scarcer now, and with each year more scarce. People come down for a weekend, for 2 days, come in their planes, they land on a shoreline, they go walk up and shoot the deer. And with the snow level coming down, that is the only place for the wildlife to live, is down by the shore, and it's just duck soup for them. They just go and pick them off. And then where are we left when they go back home again? The situation may not be irreversible, but it certainly takes a heck of a long time to heal nature once it has been scarred. We have to think about those things because they are playing with our welfare, the stability of the land that we depend upon. And we have to exert ourselves and let our feelings be known and demand that some accommodations be made for them, because we are the ones who pay the price, pay the cost. The benefits tend to leave us. Another problem that has come up is this business of dual governments, with the state of Alaska not recognizing the rights for tribes to govern themselves in their own territory. So we have village, native villages governed by two governments, a native and a city. And it comes down to who is the governing body in that community. Because the city must run by the laws of the state. And anybody can come into a city based on the laws of the state and can participate and shape the government. And if what has happened in other places runs true to form, and it never has been an exception, we native peoples can become outsiders in our own villages because values come from other places and are imposed upon us. And native peoples are not ones to make waves, to deal with direct confrontations. They would rather back down and hope it'll go away. But we can't do that now, or it'll be too late for us, and we'll end up. Swen went down to Hawaii for a visit. He was talking about that. I look at the Hawaiian people. I know he saw a lot that he could relate to. I have always looked at the Hawaiian people as brothers. We live on an island, and they live on an island. It costs a heck of a lot to get things in there, and it costs a lot to get things here, too. Our ecology, the nature that we depend on, is very delicately balanced. Theirs is also. And the Hawaiian people are a minority in their own land today. 100 years ago, they owned all of those islands. They owned that land. It was theirs. There was no doubt about it in anybody's mind. And today they are the poorest people in those islands, in their own land. It didn't happen overnight. It happened little by little. The concern is, with 1991 coming up, that we're going to lose our lands. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But you look at how many fishing permits Native people have now. It didn't happen overnight. You look at how much land, how much of Hawaii the Hawaiians own now. It didn't happen overnight. And our children are going to have nothing. But this thing was swept down and across us so fast we had no time to become educated or to be fully aware. And we got tied into something that was called legally binding upon an immature and inexperienced people. I think we have to unify ourselves. I think this thing with having people come from the other native villages is just fantastic, because here we are in Larsen Bay and we think our problems must be the only ones like them any place. But I know in every other village we're all dealing with the same thing. And if we get our heads together periodically and talk about it among ourselves and decide what to do and then back that decision up all the way, I don't think it's too late. Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I don't think when a people refuse to accept things imposed upon them, I don't think those things can carry on without consent. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Maybe I should say that Sheila Aga said that she was the last to eat tonight. Well, I was the first to eat tonight, and So I think it's only fair that I should thank Sheila and all the other people that made the potluck supper or brought the potluck supper, because all of those traveling with me, I'm sure, joined me in thanking you and saying that we enjoyed the supper very much.
I'm Julia Pastorkova, senior citizen of Port Lines, and what I had in mind, most all these had spoken up, and they covered very much of what I had to say. But the only thing I can say, talking about the lands, God created heaven and the earth and put a man so the man would enjoy what he had created. So therefore, we must enjoy as long as we live. He'll solve the problem for us in his own way, in his own time. And turn over to Aleut. Hungud aluti ni, aluti lung lak nakait good. Nunamuk pingskaluda, angitman batamutan tulahalugi, nunat. Agayudum nunak. Chanakish tobi mani shul khagud enjoy khlugu nun nunabud patam nakhkab chali tura khluga wat maktei luting khongudan nut net nu nakhuni du gut nakhke tura khad khlugi leida te khluding nakhkab dia khad el khad chaqad nut khalugi patam chali nut khangi nakhkuna ki tamagud Shootan Hunguda Portlands me ingi me maluk Quingji Maludek Patamasaka Portlands Hmuk Pisumunak Ludik Puli Dawati Nuntukak Ludding Ajitman Nutrang Nakluguk Nunaman in Akludik Tukteo Ludding Tadna Ling Dakluda Nakabut Hunguda Magut Imagan Dedushkabut Babushkabut Nakhit Ishuinak, Takukahnak, Hunguda Chalinutan Tamagut Nakat, Achirabut Nakhuda Tamagan, Chaklaba Chalin, Litnohulugi, Shiluhuang Nakunhada, Encourage Halugish, the Hunguda Tamagun in Kanipyot Hagud, Chaklaba Chal Encourage Halugish, Tobi Chalipiduket, Koyana.
Thank you, ma'am.